Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the Apostle Paul's letters to the Colossians and the Galatians. The first reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Zachary United Methodist Church. If you're new to our online worship, we welcome you this morning and hope that you're blessed for the time that you spend with us today. You know, having spent more time at home and away from the office, away from people during this social distancing period of time we're in, I have to confess that I have spent a lot more time on social media than I have ever spent normally. And I also confess that that has proven not to be such a good thing, because it often leaves me feeling dismayed and even angry at some of the things I see posted on social media. A few weeks ago, a blogger that I follow, who is a pastor of a growing congregation, he's also a church consultant, he committed what many consider to be an egregious error. He said something on his blog that a number of people, otherwise like-minded people, simply disagreed with. So naturally, they took to the comments section to voice their opinions and their disagreement. And of course, that's commonplace today in social media. I mean, everybody has the right to comment on anybody's post that's out there. It just seems that there's a growing number of people who feel that they have to post their opinion about anything and everything they see. And in this case, many of the comments were just downright mean-spirited. And what amazed me most about these comments, that in addition to them being mean-spirited, many of the comments were made on a Sunday morning. This was a pastor who made a post on a Saturday evening, and so many of the posts came in the next morning. In other words, as these people were preparing to go to the place of worship or to preach to God's people, because after all, many of the comments were made by fellow preachers, they took time out of their Sunday morning routine to insult another pastor who, in their opinion, had a few wrong things to say. Now, that may not surprise you at all, because that just seems to be the new norm that we're living today, especially in social media. But it got me to thinking about how these commenters on this Christian site seemed to believe that they were so much more right or correct than this poor, ill-fated, and advised pastor, that it was okay to insult him. Because after all, they were right, and he was wrong. And so that makes me the good guy and him the bad guy. And it also gives me the right to say whatever I want to say. No holds barred. Now the truth is, I didn't agree with everything that this blogger wrote that day. But I'm just not sure that the comments section in a blog is the best place to try to fix people, especially not in that way. And it got me to thinking about how we sometimes have this distorted idea of what spiritual maturity really looks like. Many people seem to think that if a person just has the right kind of knowledge, or they use the correct terminology, or they can quote scripture or quote other people in such a way, they must be spiritually mature. Because after all, they're so informed, and they have the opinions to back it up. And so it doesn't matter if they're mean or even hateful or even if they claim to be a Christian, because after all, they're right. Right? Well, actually, no. Not at all. That's wrong. Even though we are living in this polarized society and world today, where it has become commonplace to label one another and to deride others and to put others down who think differently than we think, in the Gospels and in the letters of the Apostle Paul, we encounter a very different measure for what it means to be spiritually mature. It's not based on opinions that we derive or how superior we feel we are over everybody else. It is based on the kind of life that we live and the kind of person that we are. According to the Bible, true spiritual maturity is marked by Christian character. And Christian character is defined by how one embodies love of God and how they treat other people. As Jesus says, the sum of all the commandments is that we love the Lord our God and that we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how we love our neighbor as ourself. This is why the Apostle Paul says in his letter to Colossians, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As I reflect upon the state of our nation right now and where we are with all the polarization out of our society and even within the church, I truly believe and sense that God is calling us to live lives that are spiritually mature right now. A life that seeks to, in the words of the Apostle Paul, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I believe now, more than ever, as Christians, we are called to bear the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Well, what is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, you ask? Well, as Paul says in his letter to Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Imagine the difference we can make in this world if we were committed to bearing the fruit of God's Spirit in all that we do and with every encounter that we have with other people. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how we can actually do this and how each aspect of the Spirit's fruit can come alive within our daily lives. For Paul lifts up these 9 qualities or these 9 fruits of the Spirit as a model for how we can live spiritually mature lives and how we can make a real difference in the world around us. But before we get into the details of the sermon this morning, I want to make the point how we often refer to the fruits of the Spirit in a plural sense, as if there were 9 separate fruits. But Paul actually refers to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the singular sense. That is because for Paul, all 9 of these fruits of the Spirit, so to speak, they all go together. They're all built upon one another. So I just have to apologize in advance for using them and as individual fruits in order to try to make my points this morning, because these 9 qualities actually are the fruit of the Spirit. Together they make up the fruit of the Spirit. And why is that important, you ask? Because these are a unit. This is not a buffet. In other words, you can't just say, I'm going to take a little joy, I'm going to take a little peace, but that's self-control and patience. Well, that's really not my thing right now. It's not my top priority. I mean, these all go together, and they become the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, and they're all a product of living a spiritually mature life. So how do we bear the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our daily lives? Well, over the years, I've observed a lot of people who have had fruit trees in their yards. Now, growing up in a parsonage, I've had a little experience with fruit trees, but the truth is we didn't live in a place long enough to really cultivate any fruit trees. And the other truth is that we really didn't know what to do with them anyway. So there's no reason, it would not surprise you that they didn't grow. They didn't produce much fruit when we lived there, because we really didn't do anything to promote their growth. The only water they received, well, that was from the rain. We didn't ever do anything like fertilize them or prune them or spray them or any other things that were necessary. I mean, the potential for fruit was there, but it was never really developed. But I have known several people in my life that had these beautiful fruit trees that produced just beautiful fruit every year. And I've learned from them that it takes a lot of work to get a tree to produce good fruit. I mean, you need a lot of water on a consistent basis. They need to be pruned. The tree needs to be fertilized and sprayed regularly, and the clusters of fruit need to be thinned out, and on the list goes. Well, it is the same when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. These qualities that we're talking about here in the fruit of the Spirit, they exist within our spiritual DNA, so to speak. Because when you are made a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And so the potential is there, but it just needs to be developed. It needs to be nurtured and cultivated. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about how we can live out these various fruits of the Spirit. But this morning, we're going to talk about the things that we can do on a daily basis in order to cultivate the Spirit's fruit. And the key word here is daily. Daily. Just as it takes consistent work in order to help a tree to produce good fruit, it takes daily effort to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to prepare our heart in order to do this. And when I say prepare your heart, I'm really talking about preparing your life in a way that it can grow spiritually. But how do you do that? Well, I think preparing your heart begins, first of all, with prayer. It begins by simply asking God to help these qualities come alive in your life. John Stott, he was one of the great teachers and theologians of our day. He passed away in 2011, but during his lifetime, he was an Anglican English priest, and he was a noted leader in the worldwide evangelical movement. He wrote a number of books. He preached all across the world. Actually, in 2005, Time magazine said that Scott was among the most 100 influential people in the entire world. And Scott said that for many years, he prayed this prayer every day of his life, which included this phrase, "Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This was his daily prayer. It was this that helped to shape his life in such a way that he made a profound difference upon this world. The truth is, like Stott, we will never be able to produce these qualities in our life without God's help. We can't produce these qualities and live out these qualities on a consistent basis on our own. So cultivating the fruit of the Spirit begins with prayer each day. It's praying that God make these qualities real in my life. And I think another way that we prepare our heart is by spending time in God's Word. Because when you read God's Word, God speaks to you. And the Holy Spirit will draw your attention to certain attitudes that you perhaps need to change. It'll draw your attention to certain actions that you need to avoid, and certain behaviors that you need to put into practice. So each morning, we need to be spending time in God's Word, saying to God, "Please show me today what I need to do, what I need to hear in order to become more like Jesus Christ in my life." Preparing your heart in this way is a lot like preparing the soil of a garden so that it can produce and bear fruit. It's something you have to do each and every day in order to bear good fruit. And as you spend time in fellowship with God through daily prayer, through daily reading of His Word, God will lead you to the next step, which is to prune away every obstacle. Now, I love to grow flowers. You can just ask Jason, who mows my yard regularly. He knows this. And I've learned that in order to produce beautiful flowers, you have to prune them periodically. And that's especially true when it comes to rose bushes. Each year after the blooming season happens, then I will go prune the rose bushes. I'll cut them back. I'll snip away almost everything so that after I'm through, it ends up like it's nothing but a stick in the ground. And I have to tell you, it takes courage to do this. The first time I did it, I thought I'd kill the thing. But I have learned that in order to have beautiful roses or beautiful flowers, you have to be willing to prune them on a regular basis. For when you prune them, you're removing the obstacles to growth. And this is true when it comes to fruit trees as well. One of the members of our church, each year, he always has some of the biggest and the juiciest satsumas. And he told me that his secret is through a process of thinning or pruning. If there's a cluster of four or five satsumas on a branch, he'll find the two or three smallest satsumas and prune them, pluck them away, so that the others will have room to grow. And it works out that way. Well, you know, it works the same way in our spiritual lives. You constantly need to be pruning and thinning out those things that stand in the way of you growing spiritually in your life. And some of these things are obvious. I mean, needless to say, we need to prune the sin out of our lives. But some of those things are less obvious because they're really not necessarily that bad. They're just taking up space. They're not the best use of our time. They're like those smaller fruit that are in a cluster that won't allow the other fruit to grow to their potential. Former NFL Hall of Fame coach George Allen had a sign in his office that said, "Is what I'm doing right now taking me closer to my ultimate goal of winning?" This is the kind of question we need to be asking ourselves as we seek to prune our lives. Is what I'm doing taking me closer to my ultimate goal of becoming a spiritually mature follower of Jesus Christ? So what are the things in your life that are standing in the way or hindering you from growing spiritually? What needs to be pruned from your life so that you can become more the person that God created you to be? Well, for some, it may be some things that seem simple. And maybe you just stop talking about politics because it tends to bring out the worst within you. Or maybe you're going to limit your time on social media because it ends up consuming too much of your time and it ends up also influencing you in a negative way. Or maybe you're going to limit your time on TV because, again, it just gets in the way of better things. It consumes too much of your time. Or maybe you just stop watching certain TV shows because they're not taking you closer to that ultimate goal of becoming a spiritually mature follower of Jesus Christ. And the list could go on and on. There's lots of things that we could prune out of our lives. And I think this is what the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he said, "Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." This is the kind of pruning that is necessary if we are to grow and produce good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, in our lives. But I think there's also a third step involved in this process of cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And that is that you need to practice each of these qualities regularly. Do you know how you get better at loving other people? Well, it's the same way you get to Carnegie Hall. You practice. Do you know how you become more patient? Well, you practice patience. Do you know how you develop more self-control? You practice self-control. And on it goes. This is the paradox to the Christian life. You can't become spiritually mature by your own effort. Neither can you become spiritually mature without your own effort. Now, I've heard some people say that if God wants me to have more patience, then he's just going to have to give me more patience because I don't have any right now. Well, the truth is, if your heart's desire is to be a more patient person, God will help you with that. But a big part of the process of this transformation within you is that you practice patience as often as you can. Again, practice is the key word here. Just like swinging a baseball bat or trying to learn to play the right keys on a piano, sometimes you'll get it right and sometimes you won't. But the more you practice this quality, the more God will help you to develop that within you. This is why the Apostle Paul says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The truth is, you can't do this by your own effort, but neither can you do it without any effort at all on your part. So the question is, what quality are you willing to practice in order that God might be able to bring that fruit within you to maturity? What is the fruit that you need to cultivate? Listen, you can't just stick a fruit tree in the ground somewhere, leave it to its own devices, and expect it to bear good fruit. And neither can you expect to bear the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, the spirit of maturity within your life, without cultivating that on a daily basis. Preparing your heart, pruning away the obstacles, practicing each of these qualities regularly. This is how we cultivate lives that are bearing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And that's a daily process. This is why John Stott prayed that prayer every day. It's kind of interesting that a person writing about Stott's life said, "It hardly seems surprising that many people who knew John Stott personally said he was the most Christ-like person they had ever met." And so I am challenging you today to make this prayer of John Stott a version that you can pray every day of your life. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the first step in cultivating the fruit of the Spirit within our daily lives. And how desperately we need people who are willing to bear the fruit of God's Spirit in our world today. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, we pray that you will fill each of us with your Spirit, enabling the fruit of your Spirit to ripen within us, the fruit and qualities of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, so that we might become spiritually mature followers of Jesus Christ, changing the world around us for your glory. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.